It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome, everybody, into this, the latest edition of ESPN FC. Alongside Alejandro Moreno, Steve Nichol, I am Sebastian Salazar. On a day where not one, but two English teams punched their ticket into the last four of the Champions League, Manchester City and Liverpool, boys, are into the semifinals. Let's start at the Wanda Metropolitano, where Manchester City took a 1-0 lead from the first leg into the second leg. This game played out to a scoreless draw. Just the one shot on goal in this for Manchester City. Only three shots on goal for Atletico Madrid. And in the end, Manchester City advance to the semifinals. Atleti finishing the match with 10 men. Felipe sent off in stoppage time in the first half. Craig Burley and Gemma Soler to join us in just a second. But gentlemen, we'll start here in studio. Ale, a very different game from the first leg. A very different Atleti from the first leg.
Yeah, honestly, for those of us that had the pleasure, quote unquote, of watching Atletico Madrid last week, you sort of have to ask the question, where was the performance that you showcased today, where at times you took the ball away from Manchester City, where you were willing to pressure higher up the field? Now, it doesn't mean that they were creating a bunch of chances. It doesn't mean that they were dominant. They were at times still conservative, but with a willingness to actually go on the attack and be a threat to Manchester City, which then pushed Manchester City back and forced Manchester City into areas they did not want to be. Now, what we saw at the end of the game from Atletico Madrid, that people are talking about reprehensible behavior, disgraceful, and all of these things, I'm actually surprised that it took that long for Atletico Madrid to take the game to that sort of level, to the street fight. I thought this was going to happen much earlier, which, by the way, actually took Manchester City off their game. Now they were fighting, and when it comes down to a fight, Atletico Madrid is going to win that. I thought Atletico Madrid would be doing that earlier in the game so that Manchester City would stop playing, and maybe through that frustration, Atletico Madrid would take advantage of that and eventually perhaps create enough opportunities for them to get back in the game. In the end, they just don't do enough offensively.
Stevie, you called Atleti's approach in the first leg a joke.
Yep.
What about today?
Well, it couldn't have gotten any worse from the first leg, so they were always going to be better. And they're at home, and they've got a crowd behind them, and they're 1-0 down. So, you know, they really didn't have an awful lot of choice. And I guess the one thing we could say, it wasn't until the last 15 minutes where it really looked as though they had something. They looked as though they had the teeth nearly on the bone. Mm. But it took them nearly two games to do that. And even at the end, when Ali's talking about, well, eventually they started making it a fight, you're at the end of the game, and you can't afford to give stupid fouls away and delay the game, and that's what they did. So it's one thing to say yes, they were behaving the way they did, but it didn't do them any favours because they didn't have time. Had they done this 20 minutes previously or 30 minutes previously, maybe they would have got something from it. Certainly wouldn't have helped them, Felipe getting sent off. But maybe with the crowd and everything else, they might have fought their way to try and get a goal and get extra time. So for me, they went about the whole thing the wrong way. Mm. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was watching the Pied Piper. At the end of the game, they've just got knocked out. Yeah. The Champions League, 1-0. They've had maybe two chances maximum in two games. But yet the stadium, to a man and woman and child, are on their feet with their scarves in the air, singing and clapping Simeone like he's some sort of messiah. Give a break.
Craig, to Stevie's point, you know, what do we make of Simeone here? This is a guy who obviously we criticized a lot after the first leg, but isn't this exactly what he wanted, to keep it 0-0, to have that chance late? And Atleti had. They had a moment late in the game where they very easily could have tied the series.
Well, I think he wanted to win the game, which he didn't do. And as Ali said, I was expecting them to start off the game the way they finished it at the Etihad, which was all the dirty tricks. To Stevie's point, and he's right, Simeone has this crowd believing that they are wronged. that the officials are against him, that everybody's against him, that La Liga's against him, that UEFA's against him, that everything's against him. And that's why they're applauding him, they're following him. He's sarcastically clapping the officials, he'll say he wasn't, as if they were wrong to send Felipe off. When, quite frankly, today and other days, he was a thug. Here we have Atletico Madrid, who had four halves of football, 290 minutes, and only turned up for 25% of that, one half. And by the way, when they do turn up, they've got really good players. They've got real quality in that team. But it's such a negative approach. And I don't say this very often. And it's not because it was against an English team. It could have been Villarreal. It could have been Benfica. I'm absolutely delighted that they are out. Because quite frankly, amongst other things, he has assembled an expensively bunch of thugs. Right? Now, that maybe is their mantra. But I'm sorry, it reminds me at times of the Spanish teams of the 70s and the 80s when it was lawless. And I thought we were bringing out laws of the game to try and help some of these players. And look, I'm not saying City are a bunch of angels here, not at all. But when you see the Felipe challenge on Foden in the first half that goes unchallenged, you see Savic, who'd lost the plot even from the first 45 minutes. And then you see the follow-through from Felipe on the second yellow when there's absolutely no need. They're a mirror image of their manager, I'm afraid. And for what they've spent, I think they should be better than that. So I, for one, I'm absolutely delighted they're going no further in this competition.
Gemma, you were there. I wonder about your perspective. One, on what the guys are talking about, right? The fact that this team is eliminated Atleti and yet the fans are still applauding Simeone. And then beyond that, it seemed like something happened in the tunnel afterwards. What'd you see?
Oh, yes, I was there in the tunnel. Well, it's a club that it's particular. They were very depressed, and then this coach, who was a hero as a player, comes and puts them back, being on the top spot in Spain and also getting to two Champions League finals. So that gives Simeone a lot of credit. And this is a team made of this, what I have in my back, coraje y corazón, it's heart and soul, courage. So this public, this fan base are for that. And their players, they fight a lot today. Even they did it with the first 45. I'm totally agree with the analysis of Craig was saying. First 45 were the same as we saw in the Etihad. They did nothing. Cholo's plan was, let's make these players tired because they come from a 2-2 draw against Liverpool. They are going to be exhausting. Just two players were not in that game, Gundogan and Mahrez. And it worked it out because in the second half, Atletico, when he does the three changes, when Correa de Paul and Carrasco go to the field, they even got more ball, more possession than Manchester City. And Man City were extremely uncomfortable because they were not having the ball and they suffered a lot. Guardiola actually, he said that they suffered and it was a tough moment, but they were able to resist. So that's why the fan base stays there and clubs their players. They are the defending champions in Spain, in La Liga. So that's something huge for this club. And I know this is the most talented and most expensive start or squad that Simeone has ever had. But he tried to play something a little bit better at the beginning of the season, and it didn't really work well for him, probably because he doesn't believe in that system of a football with more attack. So he decided to go back to what he believes, and what he believes is trying to do what he did in the Etihad. It almost worked for him because City just had two shots, and he did the same here, and it almost got for him. But eventually, I think the best team in the quarterfinals go through, and so that team is Man City, of course.
Gemma says it there. Manchester City suffer, but they advance. Mm-hmm. Just one shot on goal in this match for Manchester City. They certainly left the door open for Atleti.
They did, and from a Manchester City perspective, the thing that you should be concerned about is the things that you do really well include possession with a purpose and possession in the attacking half and the movement and rotation of the ball and movement and rotation of players. And that stopped in the second half from Manchester City. It is very surprising to see a Manchester City team that is unable to keep possession of the ball. And that indeed it was Atletico Madrid that were, as limited as they may be whenever they commit those numbers forward, they were the ones with the possession. They were the ones with momentum, the crowd behind the group. And Manchester City, the only way that they could stop that from happening was actually regaining possession and keeping the ball themselves. And they were unable to do that with any sort of consistency and continuity. Now, again, I go back to the initial point that it doesn't mean that Atletico Madrid were, because of this pressure, they were always dangerous. That wasn't quite the case. But it is surprising to see Manchester City in a moment in which they're being challenged physically, in which they're being challenged with possession of the ball like Atletico Madrid was, that Manchester City were unable to then control the game, take it to the attacking half, take the pressure off the game, relieve some pressure because of the quality of players that you have and the quality of possession that you have. They weren't able to do that, and Atletico Madrid grew into the match and eventually became chaos at the end.
What was City missing today?
I think there's no question that they were missing some legs in the second half. And when you're tired, it affects your touch, and it affects what goes on between your ears. And so when you're playing against a side like Atleti, who are motivated physically to get in and around you, then it makes it easier for them. And I think the way that Atleti finished playing the game, they were just banging balls forward. This reminded me of the old Republic of Ireland with Jack Charlton, who just put the ball in dangerous areas and made the opposition work hard. City didn't seem to have that in their legs. Mm. They kind of got caught between still trying to close when they didn't have the legs, and so there was huge big holes. So when the ball's bashed forward, then the second balls are getting won by Atletico Madrid. So I think there's no question that fatigue played a part in the second half. But at the end of the day, they still deserve to go through.
Yeah.
Because for all the crowd roaring and the fighting and the scratching and the you know what, they didn't deserve it. They created one chance, one clear chance with almost the last kick of the ball. Other than that, nothing.
Craig, to Stevie's point, go ahead.
The irony of the Atleti players and coaches complaining about feigning injury and all this sort of stuff was quite scary, really, when they're probably one of the worst of it. Look, I think Atleti missed a trick here, or a big chance, a real big chance of an upset. Because there's no doubt City were leggy, but there's also no doubt there's a lot of underperformers, and not all of them played most of the game against Liverpool. I'll give you Riyad Mahrez, for example, who only played, I think, 10, 15 minutes at the end of that game, but I thought he was awful today. I think a big part of the problem was, you know, he and others were just doing exactly what City don't normally do. That was taking too many touches on the ball, and that allowed the Atleti midfield to go and pressure them and win the ball back. And we normally see that crisp passing. We didn't. It's not often I'll sit and watch a City game and think they're never going to score, but that was today. Okay, Gundogan hit the post in the first half, but I really never felt, apart from that they were going to score. And I always felt they were going to have to keep a clean sheet today, which they did, ultimately, to get through. But I do. And how often are you going to come up against a Man City side, guys, that has Kevin De Bruyne having an off game? So there was a real big chance here for Simeone's men to go and give Man City a bloody nose. But once again, he leaves it till it's desperation o'clock, until he always brings on, you know, Cunha and Correa and Carrasco and Rodrigo De Paul. We've seen it so many times. He waits and he waits and he waits, and then he gets the crowd behind him right at the end. My God, are these people, they've had success, but are they not paying their money to see this from the first whistle? And had they done that today, they could well have won this game.
So Atletico Madrid out, Manchester City advancing, where they will face Real Madrid in the semifinals. Very, very tantalizing matchup there in the last four of the Champions League. What are the papers, the front pages in Spain saying? Still reacting to what was eventually a loss for Real Madrid, 3-2 against Chelsea, but a 5-4 aggregate victory to put them into the semifinals. Que noche, que delirio. What a night. Delirium, says Marca. Ale, boy, it is really a dream matchup there between those two. Who are you giving the edge to?
Oh, man. This is, you talk about classic matchups in Champions League and the history of success of Real Madrid and Manchester City, who's trying to get to that level of success in this competition. In terms of an edge, I suppose Manchester City, but something in my heart and in my head tells me you cannot bet against Real Madrid. Every time that you think they're out, they come back and somehow they scored a goal in a desperate move, in a beautiful pass, in some sort of finish. Benzema's involved, Modric is involved, Vinicius is involved. It feels like they should have been out against PSG, and they are not out. It feels like they should have been out against Chelsea, and they're not out. It feels like they should lose to Manchester City over two legs, but I've learned my lesson. I'm going to go with Real Madrid for no other reason that somehow, in moments that matter, they're able to get the very best of their very best players.
Mm. Stevie?
I'm going to go with Man City because I don't believe that you can keep doing that against good teams. You can't expect to keep giving the game to the opposition and then have a miraculous comeback. They've done it twice in the trot. You can't expect to do that again against a side like Man City. So I think that's what gives Manchester City the edge. Mm. If Real Madrid do what they've been doing, I don't think they claw it back.
Craig, who's your favourite for the semi-final?
Just barely Man City, and I mean barely. And only because, as Stevie was saying, I think Real Madrid this year, and I didn't see the game yesterday because I was a taxi service to Boston Airport, but I hear they didn't play particularly well, and in some sense we're maybe lucky to get away with it. I don't know for sure. But there's been too many times this year, I think they've just got away with it. Now, if they can piece together two performances at 290 minutes like we saw at Stamford Bridge, that could be problematic for Man City. But we haven't been able to see them piece those two great performances together, where Benzema's almost been unplayable, where Modric has almost been unplayable. If they can do that, it'll be tight. But I just can't see them putting 180 minutes together, and I'm just by a smidge going for Man City.
Gemma, what will the Real Madrid fans be saying about the matchup with Manchester City and specifically their old foe, Pep Guardiola?
Well, they probably would prefer, even they are bitter rivals, Atletico Madrid, because they knew it would be a little bit easy, maybe. There's also history with against Pep Guardiola, and I don't know if you ask me about favoritism, I think it's really, really close. But thinking a little bit about it, I think I should go with the Englishman as well, because Real Madrid can beat any rival. They have an amazing striker, an amazing goalkeeper, and Luka Modric in the middle. But they do have a lot of vulnerabilities. I've seen that vulnerabilities in La Liga, in the Champions League games, in the Parc des Princes, yesterday at the Bernabeu. And if there is a coach who is good, who is the best exploiting that vulnerabilities, I think that's Pep Guardiola. So I think this gives them a little bit of favoritism, even though it's going to be tough because the second leg will be at the Bernabeu, and we saw what happened yesterday and against PSG. But for Pep Guardiola, the worst visit to the dentist, I think it's here, the Wanda Metropolitano, and he survived that. So I think he can go to another final.
Manchester City, Real Madrid, what a matchup we have in the semifinals of the Champions League. Steve, if you do want to watch more Atletico Madrid, you know you can do that, right? This coming weekend.
Hey!
On ESPN Plus, that's right. Here's a look at the La Liga schedule for the upcoming weekend. Atleti in action this 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. Steve, you put it right in your phone against Espanyol.
Get me here, cut. Sorry.
Real Madrid what? Against Sevilla on Sunday afternoon, and then Barcelona in action against Cadiz on Monday.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Liverpool Benfica ends 3-3 in the second leg at Anfield. Roberto Firmino with a brace for the Reds, though, as they push on 6-4 on aggregate. Liverpool through to the semifinals, where Jurgen Klopp and company will face off against Villarreal. All right, guys, let's break this one down. Stevie, what'd you make of the performance? They did ship three at home. Any worries there?
I think they shipped three, and I think there was three disallowed. Am I correct?
Yeah. At least two, yeah. Was the three disallowed?
Look, Liverpool were 3-1 ahead, so this game was dead and buried.
Right.
They also made, seven changes from the side that they played against City. They've gone through, they've deservedly gone through. You can look at it and say they lost three goals at home, but the truth is, it was a bit of a canter, really. And he managed to rest players for the big FA Cup tie coming at the weekend.
Do you have any problems with the lineup? There was some talk that it was disrespectful to Benfica in a second.
No, not at all. Listen, most of these players would get in the Benfica side, so I don't think you can turn around and say that. But it was comfortable. Listen, it was a great draw. We all expected them to beat Benfica. They've beaten them twice. They've beaten them away from home. And then they draw 3-3 at home in a bit of a canter.
Speaking of great draws, Villarreal and Semis, you got to love that.
Oh, is it really Real?
Yeah. You should have seen him doing the dance.
Yeah, right. No, that's a huge break.
Right.
But we shouldn't count our chickens. They've still got to produce. They're certainly going to have to play the first team.
You cannot even keep a straight face right now saying this.
I'm trying to figure a reason why Villarreal should win.
Well, we should give them some respect, right? They won't be afraid of Liverpool after what they've done. Well, the last couple of rounds.
Who are we playing in the final then?
Easy, Stevie.
I was only kidding, by the way.
No, well, look, no disrespect to Villarreal, but any of the teams that are still involved in the competition would line up to play against whom?
Yeah.
Villarreal. That's the spirit of a surprise team. When you have a surprise team, because everybody wants to play them, and no doubt about it that, of course, they're at the bottom of the list when it comes to the odds to win the whole competition.
Mm. Interesting here as we take a look at the odds. Why don't we bring Craig in here? Craig, you look at these odds to win the Champions League, Liverpool and City right around even. Who would you give the edge to based on the draw?
Well, Liverpool based on the draw. But did you see the video that was doing the rounds of our colleague, I think Archie Reintott, tweeted it out, with Salah Hamidic, the sporting director or technical director or whatever he is at Bayern Munich, when the draw was made and they got Villarreal, they were chuckling away. It was a done deal, so you know, it just shows you fair play to Unai Emery. But as Ali said, look, you don't have to be. Nobody's being disrespectful. They are. They have a tiny budget, a small, small club. Villarreal, just outside Valencia, small stadium. You know, a smidge of the wages that are paid to the rest, and to be in that position. I mean, Unai Emery with European competitions, with Sevilla and others, with the Europa League. Just an amazing record in Europe. So yeah, I mean, it's a win-win for them, isn't it? Everybody's expecting them to get beat, but if Liverpool are really, really professional or on the game, they shouldn't slip up like Bayern Munich, should they?
No, Liverpool, of course, and City set to meet on Saturday in the FA Cup semifinals there. Of course, you just mentioned it, right? The lineup decisions.
Yep.
City only made two changes. Liverpool made seven. Just how big of an edge is it?
Huge. We spoke about it when we were analysing the game against Atletico Madrid, that they looked leggy. They only made two changes. I mean, we will see what his lineup is, how he is rating the FA Cup, or whether he has got his sights on the Champions League with the team he puts out. Liverpool, on the other hand, are in a fantastic situation where they can rest seven players for this tie, which means that they can confidently, and rightly so, play their first team in this huge game on Saturday. So there's no question Liverpool have the edge.
Yeah, you agree?
Of course they do. And we're not even talking about the injury concerns possibly of Kevin De Bruyne, who came off the field and ice in his ankle. And then Kyle Walker, who had to be substituted as well. He did not look good. You have in Manchester City a team that comes from playing against Liverpool, which was physically taxing, mentally taxing. Today against Atletico Madrid, physically taxing, mentally taxing. And now you're going to play against Liverpool again, physically taxing, mentally taxing, and with a lesser team because of those potential absences than what you had before. Right now, it would seem that Liverpool does have the edge and does have the momentum going into this game. But of course, Manchester City is a very talented group. We'll see how ready they are, but certainly the edge is with Liverpool.
Yeah, Craig, if you're a City fan, I wonder just how optimistic you are coming off the performance against Atleti.
No, I think I'll be optimistic. I mean, no matter who they play, I mean, their bench is deep, isn't it? I think even if De Bruyne is fit, I kind of think he might not even play him because he looked leggy, he looked tired. And yeah, it's an FA Cup semi-final, but guess what? There's, what, seven hard Premier League games left to go and Liverpool are breathing down their neck and they've got Real Madrid in the Champions League. So he's going to have to give some of these, what you would call the real big stars, a rest at some point. And I think it could be the weekend. Now, as the boys have said, Liverpool have had that luxury today in some sense with the changes he made. So I think his will be a lot stronger or a lot closer to what his first, we would perceive his first 11 to be. And I think the pendulum at the moment has certainly swung Liverpool's way in terms of the favourites to go through. But it should be another cracking game. But yeah, the City guys look as if they've been in a couple of wars recently. They will be the team that's really brushing themselves down tonight and counting the cost of two physical games against Atletico Madrid and that Liverpool game in between.
All right, then it's a weekend at Wembley and a weekend of FA Cup semifinals on ESPN+. Plus, the action starts on Saturday with Manchester City and Liverpool. Our coverage kicks off at 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN+. Plus. Of course, streaming live on the ESPN app as well. And then Sunday, Chelsea against Crystal Palace. Coverage starts 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so what about the CONCACAF Champions League? We're in the semifinal round. Cruz Azul and Pumas playing to a scoreless draw in Mexico City on Tuesday night. That means Pumas are through to the final 2-1 on aggregate. They'll get the winner between Seattle and New York City FC. Second leg tonight at Red Bull Arena. Seattle up 3-1 there after the first leg. So you know what that means. We are headed to an MLS versus Liga MX CONCACAF Champions League final, and we are going to be
Dreamland.
All over it. On the next edition.
Oh, that's what heaven guys, right there.
Which, of course, is on Thursday. We will also have an interview with not just Chicharito, but Jerdan Shaqiri as well.
Isn't that the definition of Football Americas? Liga MX.
I mean.
MLS.
You couldn't draw it up any
CONCACAF Champions League final.
They've said the same about today's show. Thanks to Craig Burley and Gemma Soler for their contribution.
Well, she was excited during this show.
Gentlemen, as well.
Right now, MX stuff.
All that stuff. Extra time. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time.
Hey,
Steve Nichol, Alan Moreno.
Juju Paul.
Yeah. Sebastian Sullivan.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Don't act like you don't love it. Just the three of us and your questions off of Twitter.
Oh.
First one from Sid, not that Sid. Is Man City overrated? 180 minutes of football and they scored just one goal. They played 4-6-0 after complaining about Atletico in the first leg. City overrated, Ale, what say you?
No, absolutely not. One of the best teams in the world. The observation is actually inaccurate. They did not play a 4-6-0.
Thinking of
what can I tell you? You can frame it however you want to frame it, but in the first game against Atletico Madrid, they were the only team to actually trying to create, trying to attack, trying to build something. And for those people that think it's easy to break a double stack of five, which is essentially what Atletico Madrid were playing in that first leg, I just have to say that just picture a Lego, right? And how difficult it is to build a Lego. And how easy it is to knock it down. It is easier to destroy than it is to build. Atletico Madrid, for the first 90 minutes, all they were trying to do was destroy. Atletico and Manchester City were trying to build, and it just wasn't going to happen. They got their goal, and they did enough in the second leg.
You've talked a lot about it, like over the last months, maybe really the whole season. We didn't really talk about it on the show. Is this another one of those games where you say, if City had a nine, they wouldn't have been sweating at the end?
From the first leg, I think maybe.
I think it's obvious that. Generally, everybody agrees that they would be a better side if they had a recognised centre-forward.
Right.
And what proves that is the fact that we do know that they tried to sign Harry Kane. So they obviously know, and Pep obviously knows, if they did have a recognised centre-forward, then they would be a better side.
Right.
But the way the game went...
Well, they get away with it because Atleti doesn't score.
The way the second game went may have been different because... Had they had a number nine, the service probably wouldn't have been there today because in this game they were poor with the ball at the feet. But in the first game, then I think no question, they wouldn't have been one up. They would have been two up at least. So I don't think it affected this game, but it certainly affected the first one.
But I think what they could do, if you indeed had a guy that was a number nine that could give you some hold of play, which should be a requirement for a number nine. Apparently it isn't nowadays, but it should be that you can provide a hold of play, say like a Karim Benzema. When they were pressured today by Atletico Madrid, instead of trying to play out of that pressure and losing the ball right away, they could bypass that pressure and have that guy hold the ball up, and then you can bring people into the game. When you think of a number nine, you think goals and a presence inside the 10-yard box, but there's also a lot of work that goes into being that player, being able to play with your back to goal, that does relieve pressure for you when indeed somebody's trying to pressure in the midfield.
More on Real Madrid and Manchester, Real Madrid and Manchester City, Atletico and City. Stevie.
Not easy reading, is it?
No, it's not. Well, Stevie, with a concerted plan to continually foul KDB in hopes of getting him out of the game. Actually, I kind of felt like Foden was the more targeted player today by Atleti.
I just think it was anybody in a blue jersey, to be fair.
Really?
If they had a blue jersey on, if you can't get the ball, get them.
A couple of cheap shots today.
The
one by Felipe on Phil Foden, where he knows that he's going to win the ball, and Phil Foden is in a position where he cannot defend himself. He knew very well what he was doing, Felipe. He just measured that ball, and then in the process, he just ran right through and destroyed Phil Foden. Now, it's a cheap shot on one of the smallest guys on the field.
Yeah.
And you're Felipe and you're Savage and you're picking on Phil Foden. At some point, maybe you go after somebody your own size.
Well, and you get away with it because there's no card, right? Yeah. So it allows you to keep doing it the rest of the game.
To be fair, they're not prejudiced. They'll kick anybody.
Right.
Well, okay. All right.
Big, small, round, thin, they don't care.
Stevie, will you send a thank you note to Diego Simeone for tiring Manchester City for 90 plus minutes twice if Liverpool wins the FA Cup?
That is about the only positive thing that he's done in the semi-final of this Champions League.
You didn't have a good thing.
Tire them out.
Yeah, you didn't have a good thing to say about him while we were watching the match.
Well, I don't think anybody could unless you're an Atletico Madrid fan, seemingly. As far as, if we're talking about football, then I'm struggling, yes. Nothing good to say, really.
But it's hard to deny the success.
Can I just jump in there?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So I don't forget it.
Okay, go ahead.
As much as I hate the way his teams play, I can understand sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. But you know the biggest thing that I hate about him?
Oh, here we go.
This is the one thing that really irritates me more than all the other stuff. When something is clearly not a foul or a card or anything, and he is running up to referees and linesmen and screaming at them, when he's the only person on the entire planet. And in fact, I think he probably knows it's not even a foul, but
he's
just
working
the
refs, right?
He just can't help himself. That irritates. I have no problem with a coach having a go at somebody when they think they've been hard done by with a decision that is clearly yours and you don't get it. But this guy goes overboard on every single.
Yeah, but I'm with you. But he plays a part and he knows what his role is and he lives within that role and has thrived within that role in which he doesn't care what you think, what I think, what we think. He just cares about what his team is doing, fans, and the people that he thinks are supporting him, which is a handful, because part of his personality is that, and to some degree part of his magic, is to have people around Atletico Madrid, including the players, believe that everybody is against them and that everybody is rooting against them and it's us against the world. And that's the role he plays, yeah. And he does it better than anybody else. He's on the other end of the spectrum from guys like Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola and all that stuff. He does things his own way. So in that regard, I give him credit for believing what he is, who he is, and not apologizing for it. You may like him, you may hate him, but in the end, he's going to show up and he's going to do exactly the same thing that we thought he was going to do. That takes some consistency. That takes some sense of belief.
You know what I'd like to know? I'd like to know, because a lot of managers and players, you know, are completely different off the field than they are when they're either playing or coaching or whatever it is. You know, I've played against a lot of players who, if you meet them after the game in the bar or in the street, are the nicest people in the
world. You think he's calm?
I don't. I'd love to know.
Yeah.
But this guy certainly is. You know, as soon as he walks in that stadium, he just pulls that face off. And this monster appears.
It's interesting.
I'd just like to know whether it's a permanent monster.
We've asked in the past if, like, players playing for him, you know, will buy in and all that. But it's clear from the reaction after the match today, they go out and the fans are still applauding him. Like, the people that support the club have definitely, like, bought in on Cholo, no doubt about that. Steve.
He's got a watch.
Yeah. What did you call it? The Pied Piper earlier.
Well, he goes out for the game with a watch.
Next question, guys.
It's better be a big watch.
I don't care how bad we are, you will love us.
Gab's box of shame.
Again.
Our next question, yes.
It's a big
worry
box
for
again.
Liverpool, conceding goals from home and away, going away to the semifinals as well as the Premier League. So I guess just generally concern over Liverpool conceding the three today to Benfica, Stevie.
I don't think there's a huge concern, considering that three of the back five weren't playing.
That's it, right? If it was the team that played against City, you'd be worried, but it wasn't.
Yes. Yeah. If it was the first team, I would be slightly worried because you can, you know, 3-1 up, the tie's dead, it's easy to lose concentration and these things can't happen. But I would say, though, that I think we shouldn't forget that in the last wee while, it seems to me that Alisson has made a big save, a one-on-one in every game recently. That would be the only thing that I'd be a little bit concerned. I wouldn't be concerned about today in particular.
Yeah.
But just in general that they've given everybody one of those chances at least.
The final score also doesn't really tell you the story of the game, because Konate scores 20 minutes in. At that point, it's 4-1 on aggregate. You know, it's over. Stevie, ooh, this is a tough one. Who would you have as the best midfield three for Liverpool when everyone is healthy?
Ooh.
It's not that tough.
Hey.
Ooh. Well, you got to play Fabinho, you got to play Henderson. And after that, I don't think it's that obvious.
Who would you go with?
Oh, it's painful now. He's closing his eyes now, finding the answer.
Well, I don't think... I've been disappointed. I thought Curtis Jones would be better this year. I thought he was sort of maturing and he was getting better and better, but he seems to have hit a speed bump. I'm not sure in the big games that Thiago gets around well enough. What he does with the ball at his feet is unquestionable, but, you know, Liverpool, a couple of years ago when they were pretty much unbeatable, had three guys in the middle of the park that got around, closed the ball, won the ball and gave it the front three. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Thiago can't do that. That means you're looking at Keita, who hasn't been particularly brilliant either. He's had the odd game where he's looked apart. You know, James Milner, unfortunately, time has caught up with him. He can't play a whole game or a huge part of a game in the middle of the park. So I'm actually struggling to define the best three. Two, easy peasy. Henderson and Fabinho. The third one, I'm not so sure.
Well, but it's a question for you, Stevie. What is your answer?
He's going to have to make a choice. You should.
I guess I'm going to go with Keita, because I
feel like that's your default.
I think he could get around better than Thiago. Put it that way.
Ale. Is Darwin Nunez good for the Premier League? He looks like a good striker for any club, and I'm sure big clubs want him.
Who's sure that big clubs want him?
Gab's box of shame again.
Okay.
Wow, really?
All right.
That's a big box.
Repeat offender.
Very active account, yes.
I think he did himself, or showed himself, quite well over the two legs against Liverpool. Active, throws his body around. Seems physical enough pace to go in behind, finish a couple of chances. So if there is a team out there looking for a striker, it won't be the top tier, it won't be the elite teams, but somebody mid-table may just take a shot at him. He seems to have a lot of the physical attributes that you equate with playing in the Premier League.
He's only 22 as well, right?
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah, he's still got some growing to do, yeah.
Yeah? But you like him as a player.
Yeah, he was unlucky today.
All right, so there you have it. Those are the questions for today's edition of Extra Time.
Hold on. So, Gap's box of shame.
Yes.
Right. That person gets two questions in?
Today they get two, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to institute a new policy?
Only 10 people.
I know, I'm just saying, it's repeat offenders okay? Is that a good thing? Or
I actually think it's a mark of the quality of the question.
Oh, okay, all right, well, okay. Right. So if it's about quality and those are the best ones that we got, then ones. So be it.
All right. Hey, good answer. Looking after the viewer.
You like that one. Yeah, always looking out.
Okay.
That was a smart move.
Thank you.
Don't like you.
Thank you, Stevie. Well, we'll be back for tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC. Do not miss it. You boys back in studio?
When?
Tomorrow. Thursday.
No.
Nah?
Nope.
No, nope, me either. Kay's back. Enjoy.
Hey.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.